This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In Russia, there's been a sharp rise in the number of hate crimes. According to groups that support migrant workers, at least 60 people are believed to have been killed so far this year and another 100 injured. The violence is spreading fear among millions of migrants in Russia, especially workers from Central Asia. As NPR's Gregory Pfeiffer reports, they say they're attacked on a daily basis.
28-year-old Sukhaili Saidov was leaving the metro one evening when a group of five young men attacked him with knives. They stabbed Saidov in the stomach, but he escaped and survived. Still, he says, another attack on a young Central Asian woman haunts him more.
I saw her killed in front of me. It was also outside the metro, and there were lots of people around. The police did nothing. Three men grabbed her. She was screaming. Then they smashed her head with a brick.
Saidov, who's from Tajikistan, has been assaulted three times. He lost his job as a security guard because he's afraid to be out after dark. But Saidov can't make a living in Tajikistan, where the average wage is only $15 a month. If he works in Moscow, he can support 10 family members back home. A Tajik worker operates a drill at a construction site in southern Moscow. Russia's huge oil wealth is fueling a major building boom. Most of the workers here from Tajikistan earn around $800 a month. It's thought 60% of Tajikistan's working population is in Russia, although migrants are rarely seen on the streets, except when they're sweeping them. Central Asians form part of a virtually segregated second class of residents, providing cheap labor, doing the kind of backbreaking and dangerous work Russians refuse to do. Construction worker Saeed Chihanov says there are no cranes at the building site, and that workers have to lug tons of sand, concrete, and other construction materials themselves.
Tajiks in Moscow are slaves in the 21st century. We're treated like animals. The police insult us, and our employers forbid us to even talk at work.
Everyone at the construction site has stories of attacks by masked men in the middle of the night. Karamat Sharipov, head of a support group for Tajiks, says there was racism under the Soviet Union, but the Communist Party's propaganda about international friendship kept it in check. The new greed in Russia, he says, is fueling racist attacks.
It's profitable for the Russians to spread an atmosphere of fear. Construction companies are making huge sums of money, and so are the authorities, who are secretly paid to help organize the migrant labor system.
The authorities admit there's a problem, but blame many migrant workers for arriving in Russia illegally. The Moscow City Administration is proposing to help solve the issue by housing migrant workers in settlements built from metal containers. Ethnic community leaders have denounced the plan as segregation. As Tajiks and other migrants stream into Russia, hatred toward them is growing. Alexander Verkhovsky, who studies racism in Russia, says the number of attacks is rising 15% to 20% a year.
People in Kremlin do not understand that it's not about groups of teenagers. There are serious gangs. They may use explosives, they use weapons, they may organize a chain of attacks.
Surveys show a majority of Russians say they have negative attitudes toward foreigners. Verkhovsky blames the way Russian history is taught in school as a series of conquests by Slavs over other ethnic groups. He says radical racists in Russia believe they're continuing that struggle today. Russia's burgeoning neo-Nazi groups are posting videos of attacks on migrants on the internet. Last year, a video showed two bound and gagged young men kneeling under a Nazi flag in a forest. One is beheaded by a masked captor shouting, "Glory to Russia." The second is shot in the head. Back at the building site, construction worker Saeed Chihanov says he's desperate to go home, but that he doesn't know when he'll be able to afford to. "I haven't been back once in 6 years," he says. "I last saw my son when he was a year old. When I see other fathers hugging their sons, I start crying." Gregory Pfeiffer, NPR News, Moscow.